Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I have a trading problem.
And I am Justin, and I have a trading problem.
And I am Dustin Lunt, and I aspire to have a trading problem one day.
And maybe Dustin also has a drinking and trading problem too, given the name of his podcast.
Yeah, very true.
But welcome in, everybody. That's session 279 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. No Russ again this week. Russ has abandoned me, so you just got me again. But we do have Justin Rogers. Justin, the next football game we see, fantasy points are going to count. How do you feel about that?
I'm so excited. I've been like working on random little tiny trades to kind of spruce up my rosters just a little bit. I don't even care about pretty anymore. I just want points. Let's go.
Yes, it's point scoring. Mm-hmm. Like we say here, non-point scoring season and point scoring season. Point scoring season is just about here. I need to get more offers out there. So does the rest of the TA leagues, by the way. We have a very light trade week again this week. Got about five of them, but three of them are minor. Probably one of these ones I wouldn't even have put on here normally, but we had so few trades. I said, what the hell? But Dustin, how you feel on the verge of the season here?
Oh, I am excited. Don't get me wrong. I have been happy with preseason football because at least it's football and we're through the dead zone of nothing going on. But I can't wait for the games to count here, especially with my hometown Packers here. You can see in the background. Interested to see how their season's going to play out now that Rodgers has finally left the team.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the season. It's kind of snuck up on me here. It seemed like forever, and then it seemed quick all of a sudden. But Dustin, before we get into the rest of the stuff we're going to talk about, why don't you tell everybody who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, as I said in the opening, my name is Dustin Lunt. I am one of the co-hosts of the Drinking and Talking Fantasy Football podcast. We record on Tuesday evenings. We recorded just a little bit earlier this evening, but down for double duty tonight. So I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and best podcast name in the business, I think.
Drinking, oh, thank you.
That's basically what I do here, Drinking and Talking Fantasy Football. So we'll get right into that. We have a little bit of news this week. And I guess I need to start off with this one. Trey Lance traded to the Cowboys. I see Justin smiling already. that was one of the big news earlier.
Why don't you tell us how you feel about this one, Rocky?
I do want to point out people, you know, I've already admitted the L on that he was going to be the starter a couple weeks ago. And that was all my take was. People have busted my balls. Like, I thought Trey Lance was going to be a Hall of Famer or something. My whole argument was they don't know what Trey Lance is. Brock Purdy is as a ceiling of mediocrity, in my opinion. And it boggles my mind that any team is going to go into the season with Super Bowl aspirations with just Brock Purdy and Sam Darnold on the roster. But that's what they're doing. They traded Trey Lance away. Again, I never said the guy was going to be good. And actually, if you go back, especially on Junkies, but I probably said it here as well, I was pretty anti-Trey Lance when he came out as a rookie. And I've only been touting in this offseason, non-point scoring season, just because, again, we don't know what he is. And if I'm the Niners, I'd rather go for the upside. And you'll still have Purdy as a backup plan if it doesn't work. So that's why I've been touting all offseason, Lance is going to be a starter, Lance is going to be a starter. And now he's not going to be a starter anywhere. So But I fully admit that I had that one wrong. And I still contend the Niners are dumb for doing that. But Justin, what do you think here? Is his Lance completely worthless? Are you trying to get him super cheap in case he does start eventually? What do you think?
I'm done with Lance. He's worthless to me. I mean, now he's third on a depth chart with an entrenched starter. At least before, he was third on a depth chart with two who knows what's.
Yeah.
Now he's buried.
I mean, that's why to me it's crazy they even traded him. Like, I get it. He's, you know, they put all this into him, and it's kind of weird now to have him still stay on that roster, I guess, as the third guy. But
Frank said Greer got cut, so he's the backup. What about Cooper Rush? Rush is still there, I believe. So he's third behind Cooper Rush.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I was figuring. I thought Cooper Rush is still there, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if I'm him, I'd still rather have him on my roster. With all you invested into him, again, I don't know how they can be so confident that Purdy is going to be like what everyone thinks he was. I mean, he won games. He was not a great quarterback. But Dustin, why don't you, I've gone off on this enough, so why don't you comment, I guess, on Lance? And I guess I want to ask both of you, but Dustin, you can answer this first. Where are you at on Purdy now? Are you giving up a first for Purdy? Do you even have interest in acquiring Purdy? Are you like me? And oof. I'm just like, I said, to me, his ceiling is not even Kirk Cousins. It's below, because, you know, I love me some Kirk Cousins. I think it's below Kirk Cousins. Yeah, it's like, and everyone thinks he's great because of what happened at the end of last year. It was mostly winning. He had some solid fantasy games. He was no superstar. But I've contended all the whole time. Sorry, I'm rambling on here, Dustin. But this has been my thing all 9 points.
He's highly invested.
Yes, I am highly. Yeah. So I need to get it all out because we're never going to probably talk about Trey Lance again at this point.
It's unlikely. Yeah,
so I contended the whole Purdy thing it was inflated by a soft schedule.
Rock, take a deep breath. It's gonna be all right.
I know. It just drives me wild. I mean, again, I've said this too. As an Eagles fan, I love it because I love that the top contending team to take out the Eagles for the Super Bowl now has Purdy and Darnold at quarterback. But it is killing. It's a big L for me from this 9 points Curry season. But Dustin, now I'll finally let you talk.
Oh, thanks. No, Purdy, I really have no interest in. There's plenty of other guys I would take. I just super small sample size last year. The Niners have, you know, good defense, a lot of solid fantasy pieces around him to help him make him look better. So I'm not overly interested in Purdy, especially now that he is the entrenched starter. I mean, I don't want to pay a first for him. I'd rather go get, you know, like you, Rocky, go get some of those older guys you can get a little bit cheaper that will probably end up producing better. For Lance, I am hopeful, or I should say this. If I have room on my roster, I'll take a flyer on him super cheap. Hopefully get him at a super depressed value right now. He's still on his rookie contract. Hopefully a couple years, maybe McCarthy can work some magic with him and he'll get a shot once his rookie contract is up, go somewhere else in free agency, you know, have a chance to at least compete to be a starter. So he could be worth holding on to just because of the draft capital that, you know, he was taken with, but again, super cheap. I wouldn't be paying a lot for him at this point.
I love Jason in the chat. I think I'm grabbing Darnold for a third when Purdy gets benched. but yeah, I'm sorry. Did you say at the end what would you be paying for? Would you pay a late second, or you wouldn't go higher than a third?
Oh, at this point, I mean, a couple of thirds. I don't know that I could do a second.
I think I'm with you, and I've had at least one trade this season where I think I paid a late first for Lance, and I am severely regretting that because I was definitely entrenched on he's going to start. But Justin, it sounds like you're with me on Purdy.
Yeah, it's like Dustin said, mediocrity at best. I mean, there's just nothing, no upside there to shoot for. You know, if I'm going to take shots at cheap quarterbacks, I want them to at least have some sort of high QB2, low QB1 upside for my roster.
Yeah, and Frank in the chat says, but is he going for a first? I feel like getting him for a second is an auto accept. I think I would pay a second for Purdy. And I'm not even a big fan, but
right.
I don't think any Purdy managers are sending him for a second at this
point. No. I haven't seen that.
Yeah. So I think you're going to have to pay it first. I haven't seen any trades, so I can't say he's going for first that I've seen, but I can't imagine anyone is, now that he's entrenched, like you said, entrenched as a starter, likely this whole year. Even if Darnold gets in, Darnold will probably get benched at some point and Purdy will be back in anyway. So, I can't imagine anybody selling him for less, given that he's pretty much locked in for the season. But I'll stop rambling on about Purdy and Lance, and I'm sure we'll talk some more Purdy, but this is probably the last you'll hear from me on Lance. But the other big news was JT, Jonathan Taylor, did not get traded after asking for that trade that we talked about last week, but is starting the season on the PUP list. So he's going to miss the first four games. What do you think of this whole situation? Is he going to play in week five? Is he going to, I'll go to you first, Dustin. Are you trying to buy it? Do you think you're going to get a discount? Do you think everyone's just going to be like, well, no, I assume he's going to play. I'm not going to sell him any cheaper. What are you thinking?
If you can get a discount for him, sure. I don't know that people are going to give you a discount with this news. The one thing I'm worried about with JT is, yeah, he can come back after, you know,
they said the first
4 weeks.
Yeah.
And he only needs to play 8 games to accrue a season towards, free agency. So does he come back after week 4 and play for 8 weeks and then has an injury and he's out then for the your fantasy playoff run? Or, you know, does he pull a Lev Bell and not play at all this season? Like, you know, that's so a good
point, by the way. I don't even think he needs to, like, if he, quote unquote, air quotes, has an injury, he's still an active player who's on the roster and he's still getting vested games.
He has to play 4 more weeks. He doesn't have to play 8 more weeks.
Okay.
It's not, as long as he gets activated, let's see here. I can't remember. It's something about 6 weeks in, he has to be activated or sometime before the end of the season.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If he gets activated once PUP ends, I don't think it really matters how much he actually plays because, the vested games will count if he's injured and he's saying he can't play unless he's like actually sitting out, which is highly unlikely.
Yeah. So that makes me real nervous, especially if you're counting on him to be a bell cow for you on your team come fantasy playoff time. So I'm nervous about this whole situation.
Yeah.
Crazy. I wasn't nervous at all until 5 o'clock today when that news broke.
Yes.
That he was staying, 4 o'clock, whatever it was. I was fine. I took him in the second round on Sunday in a redraft. I was like, sweet, I got Christian McCaffrey and JT. And now I'm like, oh boy, I got Christian McCaffrey and no IR spots in this one. I can't even throw him on an IR.
Ugh. Yeah, he went 212 in my home redraft league that I've been in for a while, and I thought they got a deal. I was like, nice. He's gonna play week one. He's not getting traded. He'll be fine. And yeah, I had no idea that PUP was even a consideration. So
yeah, I didn't think he was gonna stay up. Jeez.
So in Dynasty though, Justin, you guys have rhyming names.
It's just one letter away, even.
Are you kind of out on Taylor at this point then? Because I know you're not a big running back guy, right?
I'm not out on Taylor, but I'm not going to pay full price for him. That's for sure. I mean, I have him on a couple rosters. No, it's not that I don't like running backs. I just like quarterbacks and wide receivers more. But I do like to win, so I want some running backs. Like, I got a whole bunch of Bijan and Breece Hall right now, and a couple JTs because. If they're a valuable running back, I'll hold on to them. But yeah. this sucks.
Yeah, I did not see this coming. And I'm like Dustin. I am worried what even happens after those 4 weeks. It's not like this is just purely an injury situation where he's going to be back in week 5 and we can all depend on him. It's, who knows what's going to happen if he, like you said, faking, quote unquote injury or what. So. I'm not even sure I'd be looking to buy if there was a dip. I mean, it had to be a significant dip for me, I think. Yeah, because I don't know if I can count on the points this year. And if you can't count on the points for this year for running back, that's scary. So, because it's year to year with running backs, even if he's not that old yet. So, Before we move on, Frank in the chat. Frank's always great in the chat here. Interested what you guys think of this trade my friend made. One QB, Jonathan Taylor for Pierce and a 24 first. Anybody want to chime in? I assume that's Damian Pierce and not Alec.
Yeah, if it's Alec, then it's just Taylor for a 24 first.
Yeah, basically.
Go ahead, Justin.
It's fine, I guess. You're getting points with Pierce for sure this year. You get the 24 first on top of it. Again, as we were just talking about with this whole situation, we have no idea if he's how much he's going to play. So I guess take the guaranteed points for this year, and then you can always draft a running back with that first that you picked up in the trade.
Yeah, what do you think, Justin?
Yeah, that's my thoughts exactly. Like, grab Pierce and then hit the reset button in 2024 with that first round pick, or make a trade for another guy at some point if you need. It's an asset that is obviously not going to depreciate. We don't know what's going to happen to JT. If he doesn't play this year, his stock's going to go in the tank.
Yeah, I don't hate it either.
It's scary on that side.
Yeah, I don't hate the trade. I don't love it either, but I think I would probably do it. I'd have to have some idea where that first – I mean, we kind of just assume mid when we don't know. But if it looks more mid to late, I might be less inclined to do it. But if it has a chance to be non-playoff, I think I'd lean that way. But Taylor definitely is scary either way. I'm curious, a certain host who is not here tonight – sent me an offer today after the JT news of JT and a 24. He wanted me to send JT and a 24 first for Breece Hall. Are either of you doing that?
Sorry, I lost you there for a second. I lagged. What was the offer?
JT and a 24 first, likely mid to late, if we're going to do that game, for Breece Hall. Dustin,
That's tough. I mean, if you're competing, you know, and you need the points, then you take the Breece Hall side. But I think the value is probably on the JT and the first. So if you're willing to kick the can for a year and don't need those points, then yeah, take JT and the first.
I have JT in the first in this team. He's trying to send me Breece Hall.
Yeah, I think I'd keep JT in the first as well. I don't even know that Breece helps you that much, especially in the first half of the season.
That was my Dalvin thought.
Cook there, with Dalvin Cook there, Breece coming off the ACL, probably going to be eased in a little bit. I mean, he hadn't practiced most of training camp, so I don't know that you're going to get a huge boost. Anyway, you might end up getting about the same amount of useful weeks out of JT as Breece Hall. I have no idea, but it's not like there's no risk with Breece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was thinking also. So I did not accept that trade, but
it's not a bad offer.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. I didn't like laugh it out of my, you know, while I was deleting it or something. it was just, I think I don't want to add a first on. And also in that league, I am contending, and I have the JT in first side, but I also have Connor, Dobbins, Aaron Jones, and CMC. So I'm not hurting at running back as it is sure. Anyway. So mm-hmm. Yeah, so I can afford to hold on to JT and keep that first. So. That's what I ended up doing. But so, Dustin, we only have one listener question tonight, but do you want to do the listener – we're late on listener questions and trades tonight. So do you want to do the listener question first, or do you want to do the trades?
Let's keep talking trades.
Okay, trades it is. Reminder, TA Leagues are 12-team PPR Superflex, 1.75 tight end premium – with 0.054 return yards, except TA1. We do have a TA1 trade, but I'm gonna leave that towards the end because we kind of have three more minor trades and then two that are a little more interesting, I think. So we'll do the minor trades first. The first one is in TA8, and this is one we normally wouldn't put on here, but I wanted to just throw it on here, especially because I think this guy's been a bit of a preseason hype guy a little bit. And I actually made this trade, so I just wanted to see what you guys think of this guy, which is Deuce Vaughn, for a 2025 third. So small little trade. Is that are you guys? I'll start with you, Justin. You have any interest in Deuce Vaughn? Does he do anything for you? This was a Tyler Karp special in TAA where he just tries to get future late picks. Loves drafting guys and then trading them to try and get picks that are a little higher, I guess, than where he drafted them. So what do you think here?
I'm not a Deuce Vaughn guy, but I also think that you might have a sell window sometime in the next 2 years to get a second instead of a third. So I want to hold Deuce Vaughn. Maybe Pollard gets, you know, banged up for a few weeks and he's, you know, he gets named the starter or at least gets some run. And instead of getting that 2025 third, you're trading for a second. Like, there's 24 months to try and make that deal before 2025 even gets here, you know?
Yeah. So,
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, so, again, you're not a real Deuce Vaughn guy either?
He's fine. You know, it's just Pollard is the entrenched starter there, and – I mean, yeah, Deuce Vaughn will probably get some run. You know, Ronald Jones, after he comes back from his suspension, will get some run. But Pollard is going to be the main guy there, so it's going to be hard for him, barring injury, to really, you know, flash anything.
Yeah, and he's a pretty tiny guy too, so it's hard to imagine, you know, he's ever going to get a significant workload anyway.
I mean, he has to tiptoe to look over my coffee table. So
yeah. Jeez. But yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking. It was a 25 third. I got Deuce Vaughn in the deal because, like I said, Tyler loves getting those picks. So I figured, what the hell, I'll throw him one of his late picks that he loves, and we'll see what happens with Deuce. And I agree with Justin. I think there could be definitely a window where he's worth a second in season if Pollard goes down for a little bit. So we'll move on to the next trade, which is Greg Dulcich, another guy that I think a lot of people liked during the non-point scoring season. Then Peyton seemed to not like him. We heard a lot of Adam Trautman stuff, and Dulcich isn't getting as much work and getting as much routes and all this stuff. So Dulcich for Jalin Hyatt, another kind of polarizing rookie. So, Justin, what do you think of this one?
You know, it's weird because Sean Payton didn't like Adam Trautman when he was in New Orleans.
That's true.
So why does he all of a sudden like him now? Yes. when he already had a tight end that did well last year? I don't know what the hell is going on there. I'm a Greg Dulcich guy. I was the conductor of the hype train last year, during rookie drafts and whatnot. Like, I think I got 4 or 5 shares of him, and now I don't know what the hell to do with him. I have no idea. It's 1.75, so give me Dulcich, but because I'm just not huge, I'm not real high on Jalin Hyatt, but I could see going the other way and just saying I'm gonna sell while there's still a sell window. So I don't know what happens with Greg Dulcich.
I was just gonna ask, do you think the talent just overcomes this weird Sean Payton Trautman obsession, or he just gets buried in for some crazy reason in some kind of doghouse here?
Sean Payton, you know, he marches to the beat of his own drum. So I have no idea. Like, yeah. What he did in New Orleans.
John Payton unleashed Taysom Hill on us for years, and he's still around. So.
Right, yeah. I mean, I don't understand. I'm not going to try and understand what he's thinking or if he really likes Trautman more than Dulcich or if this was some motivator thing. I'm hoping it's the latter so I can actually have some useful shares of a tight end there. But I can't. I don't know.
So what about you, Dustin? Were you all in on Dulcich before all the weird Peyton stuff came out? And are you still?
I was, and I still am. I'm hopeful, because I know we can't count on rational coaching here, but I'm hopeful Dulcich is still the guy there, and bringing Trautman over was just more of a, here's a guy that's familiar with my offense. He's, you know, good locker room guy, something like that. Just a little depth piece. That's what I'm hoping for. With Jalin Hyatt, you know, I could see going that way too, but how do we know which of these slot wide receivers is going to be the guy in New York? Really, the only piece I'm interested in New York is Waller at this point. So just, I mean, it's throwing darts at those other wide receivers. So I'd rather take the guy that we've seen produce last year in Dulcich and just hope for the best, especially with the premium.
Yeah, I think both of them are a bit of a dart throw might be too strong, but you're kind of taking a upside risk on either of them, and I'd rather take it on the tight end in a 1.75. And as you said, Dustin, that we saw produce a little bit in his rookie season. He definitely flashed. So I'll take him. And I'm curious, you mentioned you brought up Waller. How high are you on Waller for this season? Because I know Russ is even higher than me, but I'm pretty high on him too. I feel like he could, like right after that Andrews Kelsey range, I think there's a real chance in 2023 he could be the number three guy. I just think he's going to get peppered with targets there.
Yep, that he is my go-to tight end. I'm hoping I still have my home league draft this next weekend between Jake and myself. I think we're going to be playing chicken on who's going to grab him later, and hopefully he falls because we're both in love with him. And I do think he could be the tight end three on the season very easily.
You on board with that, Justin?
I am. I mean, I've always liked Waller. Well, I say always. I've liked Waller ever since he had that breakout season. You know, I didn't jump on him early enough to be like, yeah, I was all over Waller before he was a thing. But as soon as he hit, I was in. So I bought in and went for it. And when he's been on the field, he's been great.
Yeah, it's all about health with him, really.
The only thing is he's been banged up. But it hasn't been a question of productivity. It's just been availability.
And Corey, we got a lot of questions in the chat here tonight. I'll throw this one out here since we don't have a lot of trades anyway. Again, not a lot of context here, but Marquise Brown or 26 first. First of all, why are you having 26 first? You should not have leagues with picks that are 3 years out. So in my head, 26 first is basically imaginary at this point. So I will take the player unless he's absolutely horrible. And I don't think Hollywood is horrible.
Same.
Yep. That's too far away, man.
Yep.
Look, I'm getting old. I got gray in my beard. I don't even know what's going to be happening in 2026. I might be in a facility somewhere. Who knows?
So what if does a 25 make any difference? So you would take the 25 first over Hollywood?
I would.
What about you, Dustin?
Yeah, it's a lot closer for the 25. I guess it depends on my team makeup. If I'm going for more of a rebuild, yeah, give me the first.
Right. Yeah. But
Rocky, did you see I sold Russ Wilson in Hollywood on a contender for, I think it was 225 first, 24 second, and 25 second in the hot sauce league?
I missed that because there's been so many damn hot sauce emails coming through between the startup of the third copy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually.
So it was two firsts and 2 seconds?
It was two firsts and 2 seconds. And the firsts were both in 25 for Russ Wilson and Hollywood. So yeah, I'll sell for 25.
Yeah, I think that leans the pick side. Yeah. So, especially since the seconds can be.
Seconds is in. They're thirds.
They're thirds. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So there's seconds in play about. Okay. Yeah, this is a strange league, Dustin. Yeah. But I think if it's 25, I think I'd still lean Hollywood, but I'm also higher on Hollywood than most. He's another – obviously the quarterback situation is not ideal. We'll talk about Kyler in a little bit with the listener question here.
Yeah. One of the things I've been saying about 25 first is that – remember how we were treating 24 first last year? They're so far away. They're so far away, and now they're gold again. Like if you can buy picks 2 years out, it's the next year they're gold. You
know, yeah,
I have to wait till 2025.
Years. Although, and people are saying that 25 it does not look as good of a draft class as 24 or 23. But people say that all the time, and then we get to that class, and everyone loves it. So I guess it doesn't.
You get really to November, you're going to be able to sell that pick next year.
Yes,
in 2024, you'll be able to sell that pick for, a big haul, especially if it's a decent looking pick.
And remember when 2023 was supposed to be the draft class of like our lifetimes.
Yep.
It was nice, but it was.
It wasn't 2020. That's all it is. It
exactly. Wasn't yes. Yep. We've had better 2021. I think was a better draft than 2020.
Yeah, 21 was nice too.
The rookie draft.
It was nice.
That was like the Waddle Smith. The quarterbacks. Yeah, there was a lot going on in 2021 that I think surpasses 23, but, and it's kind of funny how we just elevated them to like golden god status for like a year and a half. But anyway, we'll get to our other smaller trade here, which was also in TA 9. Michael Mayer for Evan Engram. Clearly a sort of competing, non-competing kind of trade. Dustin, do you are you a Mayer guy? And obviously the easy answer is it depends on your roster. What do you think value-wise?
I still like Engram. I liked what we saw this last year. I know he's on the franchise tag or he's on a one-year deal this year with Jacksonville. But I think they probably end up keeping him there. I know they drafted that was it Breton Strange?
Yeah,
this last year, but
right.
He's more of a blocker, isn't he? So you know, I think Engram fits on that offense, so I'd rather take him. I know there's a lot of hype around Mayer, but he's a rookie. You know, he's got to surpass Austin Hooper there on that roster, so I don't know if that's going to happen this year. But I mean, he's just unproven, you know, at this point. So give me the proven commodity. And I think Ingram's, you know, he's still young enough where he's going to have a lot of some good fantasy seasons still in him.
See, I'm up in the air on what I think. I mean, obviously he had a really nice season last year. I am a little worried going forward just because they have Ridley now, they have Kirk. Zay Jones is a nice real life NFL player too. So I just worry what the target share is going to be like there and if he can do what he did last year. But Justin, I guess what are your thoughts on Engram and on this deal?
What if I told you that last year in TA scoring, Engram had 9 games above 10 points and 8 games below 10 points? We're talking about, and some of them were significantly below, 4.6, 3.3, 6.5, 2.5, 2.1, 4.6. I mean,
that was more than I would have thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was super boomer bust. And it came in stretches too. He had a 4-game stretch over 10. And then he had that 4-game stretch late where he had the 47-point game and a couple 20s and a 17. Other than that, man, he was basically unusable. I mean, he was costing you weeks. Give me Michael Mayer. I'll take the value. And I actually think that the guy that was getting Michael Mayer should have squeezed just a little bit more out, maybe a third or something like that, just on the hype of Evan Engram. But, yeah, I don't want to be playing him every week. You know, to me, that feels like a best ball line. And I don't think it gets any better.
Yeah. And I think you just convinced me there, Justin. So I think I'll go with the Mayer side. I do like Mayer, too. I think he could get I mean, no rookie tight end really – usually ever bust out big time, but I think he could get some decent work this year. I'm not that concerned about Austin Hooper in it.
No.
Yeah. And Michael Mayer, I think is you know, he's been kind of, there's been talk of him for a while. I think he's pretty pro ready and I think we could see him do some things this year. Just you know, Jimmy Garoppolo you know, is used to trying to, you know, working with a tight end. So I think, again, I'm not saying he's going to be like tight end 5, but I think he could be decent for you. He could have flashes where he's useful, maybe like Dulcich last year. But 2 more deals here. I will go back to that TA 1-1, and then I'll do this TA 9-1 because it's mine. TA 1, Aaron Jones for Mac Jones and Chuba Hubbard.
Is that Chuba Hubbard or Alec Pierce? Does it matter?
What do you think, Justin?
I always want the QB. Even if it's a bad QB like that, I'll take Mac Jones. They both might have the same shelf life, but Mac Jones is probably going to be the slightly higher scorer anyway. And he's at a premium position.
Yeah, and same.
Russ, Dustin, I see Russ is – has talked about. Do you have any hope that they, now that they have a real offensive coordinator, maybe we get a better Mac Jones than we saw last year?
I'm hopeful. Do I expect it? We'll probably see some improvement. You know, Bill O'Brien, he was a good offensive coordinator his first time around with New England, so he has that track record. So I'm hopeful he can get a little bit more out of Mac Jones there. But it's not like they're flush with the great talent around him. which worries me a little bit. But yeah, I think you'll see, you know, incremental improvement this year.
Yeah, I think he was pretty bad last year. So I think you have to almost see some improvement. And again, with it being not having to deal with Joe Judge and Matt Patricia, I think were his co-coordinators or whatever it was last year.
I don't know what that was.
Yeah, that's one of the something. Craziest things we've seen. It takes me back to the Eagles made their defensive coordinator, their offensive line coach, I think, was the defensive coordinator is what it was.
Right.
And it was like, what the hell are they doing? But anyway, and Corey in the chat says he better improve. He's our only QB, which I think that might have been before the show we were talking about. I can't remember if that was early in the show or before. But, yes, they cut Bailey Zappe, and Mac Jones is literally the only quarterback.
No, it's worse. There's only two running backs and two tight ends on the roster.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. There's
five players there. And then their wide receivers are Juju, Kendrick Bourne. I can't go past
Tyquan Thornton.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, man. Jason says he's seen worse, which, yes, we've seen worse QBs, Jason.
Yeah, but they're bench players.
Yes, exactly. You
know? Anybody worse than Mac is a backup. Baker Mayfield is barely starting, and he was better than Mac Jones as a rookie.
Yeah, and I did have hope when he came out. I mentioned I thought his ceiling could be Kirk Cousins. I don't think he's ever hitting a Kirk Cousins ceiling, which is now twice this show I've mentioned a Kirk Cousins ceiling. So how often do you hear that on a podcast? But yeah, I would take the quarterback too. I believe this was
with you a little more often than normal.
but yeah, Andrew Hall. In TA1 made this, and yeah, that's he. We were talking about it after he made it, and he's like, "Yeah, give me the quarterback. You know, I can get a quarterback." He's not really contending there either, so it made total sense for him to move off Aaron Jones to get a young quarterback, even if he's an iffy young quarterback. It made a lot more sense than just keeping Aaron Jones on his roster. So yeah, I would. If I am contending, I wouldn't mind doing this. I would not if Mac Jones is my third QB, I don't hate it because I don't expect anything out of Mac Jones, given especially a lot of what we just said about the offense and skill players on his team, especially outside of the running back, Ramondre Stevenson. So I don't hate it, but yeah, I think the value is definitely on the Jones and well, the Jones side. I don't think Chuba adds much value there. So, and the last one, this one's me. So I'm going to let you guys chime in first again. Dustin, I got Najee Harris in a 25 second. This was also in TA9 as our a couple other trades were for Khalil Herbert and a 2024 first. I'll leave the context out until I'll let you answer.
So it's Najee and a second for
25 second, yes.
25 second for a 24 first and Herbert.
Yes.
I would take the Najee side. I don't have a lot of faith in Herbert this year. That backfield is gross and disgusting. With Deonta Foreman and Roschon Johnson, who I think is going to end up taking over that backfield by the end of the season. So give me Najee. He's a starter. You know, he's going to get the work. I know that offense isn't real all that exciting for us for fantasy, but, they can't really do worse than they did last year. So give me Najee. You know, if you're not a big fan of him, you know, hopefully he pops off for a couple weeks early in the season here and you can trade him away and get some good value for him.
What do you think, Justin?
I think that I want Herbert in the first because I don't know that you're going to get more value from him than that right there already. So I'm like you, Dustin. I don't have any faith in Khalil Herbert, but I got a lot of faith in that 24 first holding value. And if I want to get something, then I go get something with that 24 first. I like having pieces like that for November or December in most of my leagues because I don't play in trade deadline leagues where I can go get that final piece to push for a championship. Most of the time I've got teams where I can afford to lose a player. If I'm really a contender, I can afford to lose a player. like Najee and still push through and then have that flexibility to go get somebody late.
So I think when you hear the context, I think Dustin probably will agree with you because that's exactly what this was for me, Justin. I am a contender. This is that team we were talking about earlier with CMC and Aaron Jones and and I had a bunch of running backs.
Yeah.
So I think, and it's also which this kind of makes it a little worse because I think I have a pretty good shot in that league, but it's my first. But I also like getting my first back, even if I'm a contender. So basically, that's what I was thinking here. I could get my first back, have a chip in season. I have a lot of pieces on that roster too. Like not all of them are like super studs or anything, but I have just like, I have like 15 startable players on that roster at least.
Sure.
So it made a ton of sense for me. Mm-hmm. And his original deal, I think, was the pick for Najee. And I actually added the other parts just to try and get another little piece back. I'm not huge on Herbert either, but I just didn't want to trade him straight up for what I assume is a late first. So I was like, let me try this. Mm-hmm. But I had the same thought as you, having that first, either, you know, I can make the pick next year or more likely I'll probably trade it, you know, maybe add it to something else to tear up in season or something like that.
Yeah. You know, come November, when there's a lot of teams that are out of it and selling players, you can get somebody like Najee for a single first. That just happens. And, you know, maybe it's a first and a third, but, or a first and some throw in player off your roster that was just going to be, you know, another roster clogger anyway. Those kind of trades happen every year in every league. Well, I can't say every league. Maybe not TA4, TA7, but every league.
This is true. Frank says, do you guys have any worry about Jalen Warren? He says, I think Warren has that job by the end of this year. I do like him, and I do think he's going to get a little more work than people expect, but I'd be shocked if he actually overtook Najee for the job. You agree, Dustin?
I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. I do like him as a player, though. And that was our last trade. Since we're on the listener questions, Jason had said a little while ago in the chat, I have a question for when we get there. I assume he meant listener questions. Dustin, what is your weirdest / hardest league?
I am in. I am in a Bosch league. It's a Kaleidoscope league. It's 100 team, multiple copies.
Pick by eight round ADP.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah. You pick by average ADP at a certain point of the rookie draft season for your rookies. You only get $3 a fab to spend for the entire season. And it's best ball, which is nice. So you don't have to worry about setting lineups. But all those other twists in it just make it real interesting.
Frank mentions he's in a league with a salary cap contract league that I run. He's saying that's his weirdest one. I would have to probably – I might go with either it might be Hot Sauce or the one I run that I kind of modeled part of it off of Hot Sauce because it also has crazy starting requirements. I stole Justin's idea of putting 2 year out picks in the draft. So like in the 23 draft, you could draft 25 firsts. And in that league, what I think it's super flex with, you have to start 3 running backs, 4 wide receivers, we just said one tight end, and it's 12 starters. And I actually run that league. I came up with these rules because I wanted to do something crazy. And at the time, I kept feeling like I saw everything as just like 1-1-1 in flexes, like trade addicts, or seeing the all flex leagues were kind of popular. And I'm like, let's go the entire opposite way and see how that goes. And it is kind of tough. And by the way, it's kind of hard to sell those teams on taking orphans over in that league because of the starting requirements. We managed to do it this year. We had one or two. But I think that might be the craziest. Justin's actually in that league and I think has soaked up a ton of picks.
My experience in the Hot Sauce League, which I kind of figured that out pretty quickly as well, has given me a pretty – significant edge in this league where I've been stacking seconds years out.
Because seconds can equal first. Yeah.
So I have like, I had 5 24 firsts, and now I have like 6 25 firsts. Someone already had every 24 first except one, maybe.
We had them. The startup was last year in 2022, and we had, I think, 23 and 24 picks in the – we did an auction startup.
Yeah.
And he just bid everything. Like, he bought all the – I think 11 of the 12, 24 picks.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's insane.
So next year, there's not a whole lot of meat on the bone, but
no.
I'm back in it. I'm back in it in 2025, and I have 3 seconds – next year, so I can grab some more 2026 firsts. Like,
the way that ends up working is because first round players still tend to go in the first round. By the end of the first, early second, all the firsts start coming off the board. Yep. So seconds are essentially future firsts in that kind of league,
right?
What about you, Justin? Is there anything weirder than either your league or my league or?
I mean, hot
Justin's
sauce.
Is three copy hot sauce, too. Yeah. Two, now three.
Yeah, well, it'll be three copy when all these bastards start drafting players instead of doing like a half or three quarters of a round a day. Guys, just a heads up, if you're listening, the season is here in like 9 days, whatever. You need to start drafting. They're in round 12 right now of a 28-round draft, and we've been going for 10 days or 11 days with that. It's slow motion. So eventually all three copies will be taken. That one, and then I'm in an auction Devi League that Ruben runs that is hard. On the strange and hard topic, that one's hard for me. I mean, I've stacked a bunch of Devi guys, but the auction money doesn't roll over, so it's a little different than all the auctions I'm used to. So it's like, spend it or lose it. And that's foreign to me in that setup. But yeah,
He did say weirdest or hardest. And Devi in general is hard for me. I'm in a Devi league that's it's fairly normal, except it's 16 team.
This one's 16 as well.
Yeah, and if I took it over, I think, in 2020. And I'm just now getting to the point where I'm competing. Like, it had a couple as like guys who were studs at the time, like Dalvin and Julio Jones, and I sold them off immediately because the rest of the roster was not great. And it's taken me a while to get to the point where I think I'm going to contend this year. So we'll see. But and I do not know the college game that great, so I tend to either trade those picks or draft them and then try and figure out how much I can get for those guys before they. Some of them fall off. Like I drafted Spencer Rattler. That didn't work out so well for me. So like 102 in one of the
one guy drafts. Had one guy had DJ Uiagalelei and Spencer Rattler. I think after the startup. Ooh, talk about setting your team back significantly.
Yeah, it's hard to just keep the Devi guys, and like I'm not a good enough college guy. And I think even if you are, I mean, everybody loved those guys 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they just. Fell off the face of the earth. So
yeah, I think that was a 2020 startup.
Yeah.
And those guys were all the hotness.
Yes.
Not anymore.
And I remember the pick before me was Sam Howell, which I guess you got a starter out of him, but I'm not feeling too great about that pick either. There was the 101 in the Devi draft, if I'm that guy. So, but we'll get to our actual Twitter listener question from our guy, Ridley Truther. Big fan of the show, part of one of our patrons. Where are Dak and Kyler this time next season? Both my favorite QBs to acquire right now. Russ always likes to ask a random question in the thing, and I asked, what's your favorite game show? He said, my fave OG game shows, hands down, Family Feud and Double Dare from the 90s. So maybe we can finish up if you guys have any game shows you like after the football question. But is Dak not being there a thing? I did not like. Yeah, why?
No.
I think Dak's in Dallas next season.
Yeah, I mean, you skip that part. He's a Cowboy, and that's that.
Yeah,
pushing him out of there.
Yeah, Jake and I were talking about this on our show earlier, and after the season, he has a $62 million dead cap hit. So I mean, he's not going to go anywhere.
No. I have thoughts on where Kyler will be next season. which I think Justin might like my thoughts, but
I already know, and that's what I'm hoping as well.
But what about
Falcons
you,
fan, Dustin? I'm a Falcons fan and a Kyler fan. That's where yes. Rocky is. I yes. already know.
Just it makes it just hey, makes
that would be a good fit. It yeah. really would.
It would be. It'd be an actual be... good version of Desmond Ritter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're not going to be, they're probably not going to be bad enough where they're getting like a top tier quarterback this year either, especially in that division, which sucks. So they'll probably just get some wins by accident.
They really plus, built strangely. Like they, yeah. what they did was they got all these pieces on offense. They got a solid offensive line for the first time in forever now, as of last year. They invested in some significant position players that can support the quarterback. And then they threw a bunch of money at the defense with all their cap space this year. So they have a solid defense. They got a bunch of pieces on offense, and then they have a crap quarterback. So they'll end up winning like 7 or 8 games just because the team is not bad around Desmond Ridder.
Right.
You know.
So Dustin, you got another destination for us, or are we just going all in on the Falcons? All three of us on Kyler to the Falcons.
I think that'd be the most exciting fit. Another team from that division, though, Tampa Bay. I don't think Baker or Kyle Trask are the long-term solutions there. So that could be another spot. You know, you got Godwin and Evans there. I know Evans is getting a little bit long in the tooth, yeah. but still a very good player. And I think Kyler would be able to support both of them really easily.
And Frank mentions, I want Kyler on the Vikings. Kirk's contract is up this year. Do you see that happening? I could see that, I guess. I don't know what their cap situation looks like. But Kirk's going to be like, what, 35? I could see them wanting to move on. Decent weapons. It might make a decent young weapons too. At least a receiver. So I could see that making some sense if they can work something out. Does anyone think he's going to be with the Cardinals next year?
No. I actually could see it happening because I don't think that he sits out the whole season.
So, I don't think so either. Everyone seems to think he's not coming back.
It's the whole thing, like, oh, he's staying on the PUP list or whatever. So did Von Miller. Like, so did a lot of guys that tore their ACL in December. You know?
Yes,
that's not a recovery that you just, you know, we're ready to roll. You know,
like, even if the Cardinals were contenders, he might be on the PUP list because he just might not be ready to come back in September. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he plays this year, but I still, I know that situation is just odd there.
Because they're going to be the number one pick too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's I don't know if they will because he's able to help them win games. I mean, they've been
true, but they've been trading guys away too.
Yeah, remember 2 years ago they won 11 games. Like it wasn't long ago that they were contenders. You know, like they were 7-1 through 8 weeks, and then Kyler got banged up with a high ankle or something. And they lost a few games, fell out of the one seat. But it wasn't like they were bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
They've improved. They improved 3 years in a row before last year. So I think that if he comes back and plays 12 or 13 games, then you're looking at probably 5 or 6 wins right there, which is not Caleb Williams.
Yeah, that would not be Caleb Williams. Yeah. It would be funny if they did get Williams because, ironically, Kyler was there after they just drafted a quarterback in the first round. So,
yeah,
and they moved on from him. And this is a few years now. And yeah, Kyler, there's definitely some personality issues, it seems, with Kyler anyway. So, I think it's more likely than not they move on. But I agree with you. I don't think it's necessarily like a given that he's not in Arizona next year. Did you guys have a game show you wanted to mention, since that was the question I asked on Twitter? Do you have a favorite game show?
I did like the Double Dare call out, but my personal favorite game show was Press Your Luck.
Oh, that's where I was going. Come on, Dustin. Yes, let's go. No whammy.
Oh, I still love that show. You catch it on like Game Show Network or whatever. I still just stop and watch it because it's just classic.
Yeah, I was an 80s kid, man, and my babysitter loved to watch that show, and so did I. It's like, it was so much fun because I could understand it as a child. I didn't have to be, you know, it wasn't super complicated. Press your luck, baby. Yep. Let's go.
That was the one that actually came to mind for me of like traditional games. The reason I actually asked this question too is because I run this Survivor Fantasy League, so if where people actually get voted out each week. So it kind of made me think of that. Survivor counts as a game show. I'm a super Survivor fan.
You could have brought the tears and said you asked the question because of Bob Barker. I mean,
Oh, I completely forgot. He just recently passed away. I should have said that.
Man, it's like yesterday or day before.
And you I did see that, and that wasn't even why.
Oh boy!
I should have used that.
You could have pulled up the heartstrings and you screwed up.
I messed it up entirely. Okay, we'll edit this part out. The whole reason I did it was because.
Who's editing? That's what I want to know.
Exactly, no one. But that is the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. This is a record time for Trade Addicts here. We're actually going to finish under an hour, it appears like. But Dustin, I want to give you a chance again just to remind everyone who you are, your Twitter handle, your podcast, all that stuff.
Yep, you can find me at FFDustyDog on Twitter/X/ whatever you want to call it these days.
I refuse to call it X.
Me too.
Yeah, I do too, but have to say it. You can find the show Drinking and Talking Fantasy Football. We go live on Tuesday evenings, 6:30 Central Time most weeks. We stream live. Catch us on YouTube. We're at Drinking Fantasy on Twitter. You can find us there. My co-host at Jake Trowbridge, fantastic co-host. Follow his stuff as well. That's about it.
Okay, and also make sure, I didn't give him a chance to plug it, but make sure you listen to Justin too on the Dynasty Hot Sauce podcast with Larry Monkey. It's great stuff, a lot of fun to listen to. A lot of drunk Larry and a lot of cursing there. It's a good show.
Yeah, you can listen where he'll offer things like Taylor Heineke and Desmond Ridder for an early first, or Isaiah Pacheco. I just got this offer while we're recording. Isaiah Pacheco for Jonathan Taylor. Yes, I want to do that. That's all day.
Larry is notorious for horrible trade offers. Basically around the entire dynasty space. So pretty much everyone knows at this point. But that's going to finish us up here. I'm at Dynasty FF Addict. Justin's at Run DFF. Obviously, Russ is at Dynasty Outhouse. Make sure you are following the DAP Network and subscribing and all that good stuff. Make sure you follow Fantasy Cares. And, Patreon. We have a Patreon. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can watch our pretty faces as we talk here, as Frank and Roman and Jason and Corey were doing tonight, and get in the chat. Also be part of the Cool Kids Club, our chat on Discord, and a lot of other cool perks. So you can check that out. And I think that's it. So
you got like 3.5 more minutes of filibustering. Come on, you can do this.
No, I want to be in under an hour. I don't think there's been a Trade Addicts under an hour in like years. So this is going to be record setting. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dustin. Good night, Rocky.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. And a proud member in the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addicts. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addicts Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.